You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
This is MLB.com Extras, Oakland A's edition. I'm Anthony Castrovince. I am pleased to be joined by Jane Lee to talk about an A's team that matched their third worst 60-game start since moving to Oakland in 1968. The last time they lost as many as 37 of their first 60 was way back in 1994. So obviously things have not gone well for the A's. And Jane, it's only natural now that we're past the first-year player draft, start to think about the trade deadline. And a lot of people are pointing to the A's as a club that has, you know, several nice assets as far as that market is concerned. And, you know, with the worst record in the American League. So are we getting close to seeing Billy Bean make some moves on that front?
I think we're getting really close. I mean, the fact that it's nearing mid-June, you know, I think this is a team that about a month ago, even as things were kind of spiraling, they still felt that they could turn things around and that they had the type of talent, you know, that could do that, but we're just not seeing it. You know, last week they went into Detroit, swept the Tigers, but then they go to Boston and get swept by the Red Sox. So it's just they can't find any momentum or, you know, keep it. And, you know, they get their first walk-off win of the season last night. In years past, they've already had probably 10 at this point. And, you know, every time it happens, they're thinking, okay, this is when we turn it around. And we just haven't seen it to this point. And some of it has had to do with the injuries they've had, but, you know, I think part of it, too, I mean, it's also the product on the field. I mean, you look at what they had last year and the changes they made in the offseason, and it's just, I think they have to look at it and kind of admit that it really hasn't worked out and it's time to make a change because they can't go into the offseason, you know, hanging on to Kazmir and Clippard and Zobrist and not get anything for those guys. So I think, you know, at least one or two, if not all three, will be dealt here shortly.
Well, you mentioned the injuries, and with Zobrist in particular, coming back from that knee surgery as quickly as he did, you know, he hasn't been moving around that well. He hasn't been swinging the bat that well. Teams, of course, know the value he has as a guy who can play everywhere, and there's probably not a contender out there that can't benefit from that. But do you think, you know, he might have to show more on the field here with the A's before that happens, before a team commits to him, or what's your sense of that?
I do think that his trade value could be dipping the more he is exposed these days. I don't think the A's would not have put him out there if they didn't feel he was ready, but at the same time, you can't trade a guy if he's not on the field. And they do know that he does have extreme value. You know, it's just for, you know, contending clubs looking for someone off the bench or someone to plug in at any which position, which he's able to do. And, you know, though he is moving around slow, he doesn't look himself. I think for him, it's more of a mental thing than anything. I actually don't think it's a physical thing. I think he's just, he's so caught up in, you know, worrying about the knee and maybe re-injuring it again. And you've seen it here recently, just a few of the slides he's made, sometimes where he's not sliding because, you know, you can just tell he's a little scared and he's holding back a little. And I think, you know, he is getting exposed here, and I think the more teams see that, maybe, you know, I don't think they back off, but I think, you know, his trade value is not what it was at the beginning of the season. But at the same time, I mean, that is a guy that could be really valuable, you know, for a contending club, and I think he could be dealt first for all those reasons, and mostly because, you know, they need to deal him sooner than later before he is, you know, more exposed.
Well, Zobrist, of course, is a special talent with his ability to play anywhere, but there's there's a more special player in the game right now than Pat Vendetti as a switch pitcher, and what a weapon that can be if he's effective, which he's been so far. First of all, Jay, I mean, just what a great story, not just because he's a switch pitcher, but he's a guy who obviously persevered for a long time in the Yankees system, so to finally get up to the big leagues is a big deal for him. How fun is this story to be around, and how much must Bob Melvin be loving this? This is every manager's dream to have a guy you can throw from both sides like this.
Yeah, I loved what Melvin said the other day. He said it's like a new toy, and you're the only one who has it. no one else has it. And I thought that was great. It really is. It's just so cool. I mean, we saw it all of spring training, but then to actually, you know, see him come up, you know, make his debut in a place like Fenway. I mean, you never tire of seeing it because it's so remarkable. I mean, you think about how hard it is to play this game with one arm, let alone two, and the fact that he's so effective from both sides. I mean, like he says all the time, you know, because people still think, well, is this a gimmick? Is he just doing it for show? But, I mean, he said he wouldn't be in the big leagues without, you know, this ability to throw with both arms because, you know, if he was just throwing from the right side or the left side, he really wouldn't have, you know, he wouldn't be as effective because he needs that left-on-left, right-on-right advantage. And, I mean, just what a great person, too. You know, you really – you kind of appreciate it more when you know just how hard he's, you know, worked over. I mean, he spent close to 8 full seasons in their minor leagues and never at any point really thought about backing away, knew this is what he wanted to do, and to actually see him do it and do it well so far is really cool.
It is very cool. And we had some cool numbers from StatCast, MLB.com. That showed Vendetti's really two different pitchers. He's a different guy from the right than he is from the left. The right-handed Vendetti has more velocity, less spin on the ball, more extension. So he's given teams two different looks, you know, within an inning, which is only adds to his value. And Jane, Terry Francona here in Cleveland is a lot like Melvin in that he values versatility. We mentioned Vendetti to him the other day, and so what if you had a Vendetti and a Zobrist on your roster? He's like, I might get aroused at that thought. And lo and behold, the Indians went out and took Ryan Perez in the 12th round, who follows in Vendetti's footsteps as a switch pitcher, ambidextrous pitcher. So there you go.
I'm sure Francona was, after that day, was like, you better go and get this guy.
Exactly. Yeah, he said, go and get me this guy. I could use him in a few years. But regarding the draft, the A's took Richie Martin with the 20th overall pick, University of Florida shortstop, who I like, Jane, that he pointed out right away that he subscribed to those money ball philosophies of working counts and getting on base. So he'll fit right in there.
He really will. I mean, he was very quick to say, you know, I've seen money ball. I know how Billy Bean works. And, you know, I think he said multiple times, you know, my best ability is working counts and getting on base. And he kind of, you know, pounded that point, which was interesting. But, I mean, he's a very well-spoken kid. You can tell just a polished guy all the way around, you know, as a person and as a player. And I think, you know, I don't know that it's a coincidence that 35 of the A's 40 picks were from the collegiate level. I mean, you know, they might say it's a product of the draft, and partially it was. But, you know, I think their system's kind of been depleted in recent years, especially at shortstop. And so to get the kind of help that can help them sooner than later was important to them. And, you know, seeing them take two collegiate shortstops from, you know, one of the best collegiate divisions in the country, I don't think that, you know, they'll say they take the best available player at the time, but I think it was good to see them go out and do that after, you know, this is a team that traded Addison Russell and Daniel Robertson in just a few months' time. So to see them get that talent back was important for them. And, you know, I do think, you know, Richie Martin is just kind of a really polished player, and particularly defensively, because, you know, a lot of times coming out of college, you're not really sure if a guy can stick at that position, but they do see him there long-term. And, you know, they said multiple times there's nothing they don't like about his defense.
Well, yeah, it's the college guys. Sometimes you might sacrifice some upside, but what you give up on upside, you might get back in just safety and stability and knowing what you're going to get. So A's helped their system from that standpoint, and maybe they'll help their system more as we get closer to the trade deadline, and maybe they'll part with some of these guys who are pending free agents. But I want to thank Jane Lee for joining us to talk about all things A's, and thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Oakland A's edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.